108 on WGN. This is John Williams. The man was supposed to say, "I'm thinking big thoughts." He didn't say it there, but I can promise you that I am. It's actually 109 now, and this is the John Williams Show. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, where it just started raining. Folks are seeking shelter. It draws them closer to the Showcase Studio window. We should do this more often. I feel a little more intimate with our audience right now. You know what we do on Fridays? It's the Bright Side. You'll call in, tell us some good news in your world, why you're smiling. We will smile with you. We do that Fridays at 2:45 or so. And so I don't know where you're going to be in about an hour and a half. But make it a point to be listening. Tell your friends too, too. It's a group hug. Works every single time right here on WGN Radio. Folks just say, hey, here's what's making me smile today. Here's why I'm glad. And it can be anything, large or small. And when you hear it, you find yourself smiling and doing the same sort of mental quiz to yourself. Well, what's my good news? What should I be happy or smiling about? It works. We'll do that at 2:40. That's our Bright Side segment. We'll talk a little sports with our friend Sam Panionovic in the 2 o'clock hour as well. All of a sudden, the sports world gets really interesting, doesn't it? We're in the middle now of baseball playoff run-ups, and football season is well underway. Somebody tweeted last night that the Patriots have not won a game since they won the Super Bowl. If it's easy to hate a team, it is the New England Patriots. How about that game last night? We'll talk about that in the Cubs' upcoming game. That'll be at the Bears' upcoming game. We'll do that in our 2 o'clock hour. I was at the Ken Burns premiere of his Vietnam documentary at the Auditorium Theater last night. Ken Burns and his co-producer were there speaking to a packed house. It was produced by WTTW the evening in the Auditorium Theater. And they all did a great job. Props to them. What a nice series that is. What an interesting, what a great venue that is. And what I think is going to be a really terrific documentary movie. It's 18 hours long. They showed about an hour of it to us, I think 58 minutes literally of it last night from various episodes. So you'd see 10 minutes from the first episode, and then they skipped to like episode 5, and you saw 20 minutes, and so on and so forth. But you really did get a sense of it, and it's positively devastating, and it really does draw you in. We talked to Matt Rausch, the TV critic at TV Guide, earlier this week. He watched all 18 hours over Labor Day weekend, and he said it just pulls you in and you can't get away from it, and you got the sense of that. I'm glad, frankly, that I'll be watching it on consecutive Sunday nights rather than watching the whole thing through a weekend, because I don't think I'd want to get out of bed after you do that. Better that we have a sort of week to process it. Although there is a dump. You can actually watch the whole thing if you want to online. It's some sort of premium service you subscribe to, but I would say just make it a point to watch it on consecutive Sundays. As we were walking into the auditorium, I was there with a friend, Jim Zwitt. He's a veteran, and then his friend Keith, who's retired lieutenant from the state police. They both served in Vietnam. They were both in the hospital together. My buddy Jim was in the hospital recovering from his wounds in Vietnam for 22 months. And the other guy was in there for half a year. The injuries were just devastating. But you wouldn't know it to look at him. So there we all grabbed a cup of coffee, and then we walked into the auditorium theater. As we were walking in, there's some protesters out front. They don't like Donald Trump. They're calling him a fascist. They're handing out leaflets. And I thought, what a stupid place to make that statement. I mean, I know you have the courage of your convictions and you're willing to stand in front of a bunch of veterans walking in and hand out anti-Trump literature. I guess you get to do that. But it seemed to be sort of almost inappropriate in a way, and real thin fishing for them, too, I might add. So we all get into the theater and we sit down, and they come out and just talk for a couple of minutes. And then without any other introduction, boom. No, actually, now think about it. We just sat down and boom, the thing starts. And it was, no, wait a minute, how did that go? Yeah, no, Ken Burns came out, I guess, and talked for a while, set us up. Then we saw it, and then afterwards there was a Q&A session. And they talked about how difficult it is for Americans to come to grips with Vietnam. One of the first pieces they showed was a guy who was talking about his Vietnam experience. And he said that he had served in the Marines in Vietnam, and there was another couple that he and his wife were friends with, and they had been friends for 12 years and did everything together. You know, they went to parties and celebrated holidays. 12 years they were friends, and only in the 12th year of that friendship did the wives discover that each of their husbands had been in the Marines in Vietnam. You just didn't talk about it. And then how do you talk about it? He said it was a real point of contention, and they had long, I don't know if he used the word arguments, but disagreements and discussions about what vocabulary they would use to talk about the Vietnam War. Do you say that America lost the Vietnam War or lost in Vietnam, America lost? Or do you say we failed? And the implications, if you think about it, kind of go deep. You and I haven't thought about that, but they did, and it really mattered to them. He said that there were whole hours of it, and they would fight over literally sometimes just a word or a scene or an angle because they knew they were conveying so much information, and they were trying to not be biased, although we all have our own bias, but they were just trying to present the best journalism that they could, the truest picture of what happened. So do you say America lost in Vietnam, or do you say that we failed? And Ken Burns volunteered that he doesn't like we lost. He said, we didn't lose. We're still America. We're still here. We did not lose in Vietnam. We still exist. But did we fail in what we tried to do in Vietnam? Absolutely we did. And I'm sitting next to a couple of guys who nearly gave their lives and lost a lot of friends in the process. And I wonder how they felt about that version of the truth. They didn't get a chance to talk about that, but there were times where I could hear them sighing or breathing heavily, maybe wiping back a tear or two. Ken Burns said on the stage, you can be mad at this war or how it was prosecuted, but let's not be mad at the warriors. And I thought that was well put. There were times where the crowd just erupted into spontaneous applause. But when he was saying that, he was also saying that you have to honor these men and women who served in Vietnam and the courage they showed. But he also said that there is a certain amount of courage to the war protesters and that their view of the war was as valid or right as the soldiers. So let's not be mad at the protesters either. Well, I'm not so sure everybody agreed with that. So then he says, how many of you here served in Vietnam? And the auditorium theater was filled. There was maybe, I don't know, what's the capacity there? 1,200 people, something like that. And maybe 100 guys stood up. Some of them not as easily as they used to. And then he said, okay, now how many of you protested the war? Stand up. And more people stood up in the second group. And the two veterans that were sitting next to me were now surrounded by people who were protesting the war that they nearly lost their life serving in. And I thought, awkward. And then everybody sat down. And I wasn't sure what the point of that was. But I was a little uncomfortable for each of them because as liberal as my politics are, as wrong as I think all of us see the prosecution of that war, it's easy to get mad at Johnson and Nixon, or five presidents for that matter, who they say had something to do with this war. I found myself leaving there really championing the soldiers who went. And why wouldn't you, right? I mean, good God, these guys are 19 years old, and they were in some hellfires. And they did not deserve to be spat on when they came out of the war. And yet my friends were. When the two-hour presentation was over, I turned to Keith, who I had only met walking in with Jim. I knew Jim. His buddy was Keith. They served together. So I turned to Keith, and for the first time in my life, this sentence meant something different to me. I shook his hand, and I said, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Good God, I only watched an hour of this, an 18th of the documentary, but you thought, these guys did something that we forgot. And men and women that are returning from Afghanistan or wherever else we're shooting people and people are shooting us in the world, and the same is true for Korea, and the same is true for Vietnam, for World War II. But the Vietnam experience is singular. That's why they said they made this. They didn't make a movie about Korea, say, not to denigrate that service or those people in that conflict in any way, but there's something singular about Vietnam. And boy, you cannot help but want to pat them on the back and say, you went through hell. I don't know if you need to say I'm sorry, but you wouldn't go wrong if you said thank you for what you tried to do for us, particularly since the evening began with Ken Burns saying that we failed in Vietnam. And these guys nearly gave their lives, and 58,000 others did, in the pursuit of what? One last note about this. So they have audio tapes. You know, so then when they take questions from the crowd, they were written down. You know, and the producers are on stage, and they're talking about it with the moderator from Channel 11 there. Nobody talked about Donald Trump, but Trump's in every room that there are more than two people gathered. And so there was just kind of a backdrop. And there was one point in the movie where Johnson, they have the audio that they play, is really mad at the coverage that the war is getting on CBS Evening News, say. And so he's, you know, they record the White House phone calls. He's on the phone talking to, I think, a reporter from the New York Times. And he's really pissed because he's getting beaten up on this war. I mean, why wouldn't he, right? And he says to the reporter something like, you know, you guys will say that we lost 400 lives, but they lost 17,000. And by the way, over a million Vietnamese were killed in the Vietnam War. I mean, the numbers are all off the charts. You just can't comprehend the pain and the suffering and the turmoil that it created for all of these lives. But he said, so how do you think it would go for me if I lost 17,000, Johnson says. He's asking the reporter to consider the loss of 400 American troops over some period of time as a sense of victory if you wrote the story comparing it to what the Vietnamese lost. And the bottom line to that whole part of the presentation was that, you know, the press serves a real purpose, and it's not always easy to do. And the idea that the administration or administrations would want to beat back the press, would want to criticize their coverage, wishes that it would be more favorable is sure not something new. So it's Vietnam, and it starts Sunday night. This is not a commercial for them, but I was touched a little bit last night, and I think if you watch it, you will be too. It's 121 on WGN. 125, 185-mile-an-hour winds are now down to 140. Cochrane said it right this morning. How crazy is it that that's the good news? The winds are only at 140 miles an hour. John Lang is on line 7. Hi, John. How are you?
Johnny, good afternoon, sir. We're doing as best as we can. We're doing good.
Where do you live, John? Where do you live? What city? Are you in Miami or are you in one of the suburbs?
I live in South Miami, but my job takes me all over various counties. So South Florida, I'm covering South Florida. And obviously it looks like we're going to be on the dirty side of the storm, which is kind of the worst place to be, which is that northwest
right
quadrant if it continues to track westward.
And yeah. Where are you at this very minute? Where are you talking to us from?
Actually, I'm in my news car, and I'm at the station going to pick up some supplies, kind of planning ahead for tomorrow because the event is going to be beginning with tropical storm winds as it gets closer tomorrow evening, and then the hurricane force winds. And by then, we'll be in a shelter, so we're not out and about anymore. But those come in and start affecting the Miami area Sunday morning.
What's it like there right now, John?
Well, if you are prepared and...
No, the weather. What's the weather like right now?
Oh, it's hot and humid and miserable, especially if you still have to put hurricane shutters up or any physical exertion. You're sweating your brains out.
You wouldn't know a hurricane's coming? It's not windy or rainy right now?
No, not at all. Because remember, no, it's typical. You know, it's the calm before the storm is what they call it. And because the storm, even though it's huge, it's still down there by Cuba. It might not even be alongside Cuba yet. So it's probably 350-some miles away, I think I saw on one of the latest weather reports. So you know, with the technology now, they really have, just like with snowstorms and stuff, they can almost tell you when things are going to start happening. And we sort of know when winds are going to start picking up and when it's time to say, hey, we're packing it up, shutting down, getting into a shelter. The shelters here are Miami-Dade public school buildings, which have been built specifically to house, to be hurricane shelters. So they're concrete with generators, Red Cross operating them, so the food is there.
Wow.
It's not that it's going to be a quiet place by any means, but I'm working with Ari Atzer. I don't know if you, my reporter is Ari Atzer. We spoke last year as Matthew was skirting up the coast, and we were blessed to have missed it. And it looks like, you know, our luck has sort of run out this year. And, you know, on top of the high winds, we might be, because we're on the 30 side of the storm, we might be getting, you know, they're saying maybe 20 inches of rain. And no place can really handle that. So that's another part of the equation.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah.
Well, your family, are they, like, can you talk about the, I know Deb and the kids were in Washington or South Carolina, is that right?
Actually, I was supposed to be, and my wife flew out this morning on one of the last flights out of Miami before American Airlines shut down. So there was a run on the airports to try, and a lot of people just wanted to get out, go anywhere. But the airports are shut down now, the flights, not really because of the wind, because the winds aren't up yet. But so Debbie did get out this morning to Washington, D.C. Our daughter's playing in a soccer game in D.C. in about an hour and a half. Or for American University, go Eagles.
And that's still going on, yeah.
And my kids are old enough that my one daughter's in college, my other son's up at FSU in Tallahassee, and they might be affected by the storm as well. So the family's gone, the house, in our business, we have to prepare our house and the shutters and fuel days ahead of everyone else because we know we're going to work through it. So I've done the best I can, and whatever happens, happens to the house.
Okay, one last thing. I know. That's so weird. You said that to me in a text message earlier this week. I expect to lose all my trees, and I hope the house doesn't get too damaged. It's just so weird that you just have to sit there and wait for that punch. But can you just talk to me about evacuation? I'm going to be late for the news here, John. Give me a minute on either traffic getting out of the Miami area or who's left or anything like that.
Traffic is, the people have pretty much already gotten out of Miami. Where it's backing up is Orlando, around Orlando, maybe north of people on the Florida Turnpike and I-95 that are trying to escape Florida to Georgia. And that's where you may see traffic at standstill, which is a scary proposition.
Yeah.
The worst case scenario.
Right.
Or you run out of gas in a traffic jam on the Turnpike and you take the storm in your car. And that's why a lot of places say, you know, shelter in place. But we've known the storm's been coming for quite some time, and you just got to make your mind up and make that decision and do it.
You know, I have this weird idea that what they should do, because you're right, these people are sitting ducks if they can't get out of town. And we've been talking to some family members or friends that live in Florida, and, you know, the 14-hour drive to, or the 9-hour drive to Atlanta became a 20-hour drive or whatever it is. But here's what they should do. Close off all the exits and entrance ramps. I mean, let people get on the highway, but you can't get off until you get to, I don't know, Kentucky or something. Pick a place way north and west that's out of harm's way. And then that big line of cars are just going to start moving because everybody only has one direction to go, and it's straight ahead. And let's just get this line moving, John. That's my idea.
Hey, that's good. Everyone has the same amount of fuel, and everybody maintains their cars as well as you so that you don't have blowouts and you don't have wheels falling off cars. And that's what causes, or you look down and all of a sudden the car in front of you stops, so bam, now you've got an accident. And the scary thing is the Turnpike, a lot of places in Florida, is only two lanes. So it's
really
kind of hairy. Yeah. And you're right. Those drives to Atlanta have taken much longer now. But, it's very strange to I'm appreciating all the trees right now. It's a beautiful canopy that has grown up over the 25 years since Andrew, because, Andrew, you walked out your door if you still had a house, and it was as if a bomb had gone off. And we sort of expect to possibly, depending on where you live and which way the storm tracks, to walk out your whatever you're in and experience the same thing. And that's the cruelness and reality of it, but that's how this stuff works.
John Lang from NBC 6 in Miami. Okay, John, my best to your family. My best to you. It sounds like you're going to be the only one there in your family, but to all the folks down there. And I'll catch up with you maybe Sunday or Monday, okay?
John, it's always great to talk to you, and I want to send my love out to my brother Rob Lang and Jill and my mom, who's out there in Lincolnshire. And we'll be safe. We'll do the best we can. I love you all. John, always a pleasure.
There he goes. It's 1:32. Thank you. Thank you, David. It's 1:41 on WGN. This is John Williams watching a light sprinkle here. It's weird. We were just talking to a friend of mine who's a TV photographer in Miami, and it's sunny there. It's hot and humid, and it's not windy, and it's not rainy. And one of the worst storms in Atlantic history is bearing down on them. So we have the luxury of knowing exactly when it's going to hit and what the potential consequences will be and what the track is at any given time. But imagine what it was like 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago or 50 years ago when it wasn't that sophisticated, where people may be milling about in Miami today. Were it 100 years ago, would still be milling about going, oh, no hurricane here. Everything seems to be fine. And then one day you wake up and it's kind of cloudy and it's rainy and now it's windy. And then all of a sudden, a Category 5 hurricane is at your door and you had no way to escape because you had no way to know. Now we have a way to escape, and we do have a way to know. I don't think that there's a real point in discussing today or these days what the impact of global warming or climate change is on hurricanes. Frankly, I don't think there's ever a point in having that conversation anymore. It's pretty understood that the earth is getting warmer and the oceans are getting warmer, and warm ocean water is the energy for hurricanes. So when you have hurricanes, they're more likely to be more severe. And that's just what happens. And it's what's happening. But maybe this isn't the time to have that conversation anyway, because either people are on board or people aren't, but you're not going to persuade anybody. And even if you think you could, maybe right now we just need to get them a full tank of gas and get them out of Dodge, right? This really isn't maybe the best time to have that. I know it's very, very relevant. Maybe if you're in Oklahoma or Chicago, you can have that conversation right now. But it also seems to me like this is a conversation you could have almost just as well right after the fact. Houston is now talking about what do we do for flood planning. You know, Miami is going to have this kind of a conversation, and then other sorts of conversations as well. But they'll have that conversation in earnest in a week or so. So I'm not going to beat somebody up if they don't want to have that conversation right now. But what Rush Limbaugh has been doing on his syndicated radio show is pretty amazing, even by his standards. And the guy who was essentially saying, oh, I'm not even sure there is a hurricane coming, is not doing his show, I think, today because the hurricane's coming and he's been forced to evacuate the state. This is from The Hill. Rush Limbaugh will be evacuating his home in Palm Beach, Florida, just days after stating that creating panic around hurricanes helps advance a climate change agenda. May as well announce this. I'm not going to get into details because of the security nature of things, but it turns out we will not be able to do the program here tomorrow, Limbaugh said on his nationally syndicated show. We'll be on the air next week, folks, from parts unknown. Conservative political commentator and author Mark Stein will fill in for Limbaugh. Controversy swirled around Limbaugh throughout the week after the 66-year-old said that while he's not a meteorologist and nothing he says should be considered to be a forecast or a prediction, he believes that hurricanes are often hyped to increase ratings on the media side while driving sales for retailers who offer storm supplies. There is a desire to advance this climate change. Now, that happens. Right. I mean, it's true that the media is guilty in Chicago of hyping snowstorms, rainstorms, tornadoes as much as they probably are in Miami of hyping hurricanes. And we all need to sort of keep an open eye to that. He also said this: there is a desire to advance this climate change agenda, and hurricanes are one of the fastest and best ways to do it. You can accomplish a lot just by creating fear and panic. You don't need a hurricane to hit anywhere. All you need is to create the fear and panic accompanied by talk that climate change is causing hurricanes to become more frequent and bigger and more dangerous. And you create the panic and its mission accomplished, agenda advanced. Limbaugh said it would be legally impossible to do his program today, which CNN security analysts noted means that his area of Palm Beach County is under mandatory evacuation. That's why it's legally impossible for him to do his show there. Mary Schmeek in the Chicago Tribune today wrote this. It's a poem ostensibly from the president about the hurricane, My Endless Storm. Schmeek wrote, "Now Hurricane Harvey has ravaged the land. The damage is epic. I saw it firsthand. I traveled to Texas to show that I care, and man, what a turnout. They love me down there. I saw the disaster, the horror, the terror. Who says that I didn't? They must be in error. I saw it on radar. I know how it feels. Enough with the talk of Melania's heels. I pledged a small fortune for Harvey relief, $1 million green dollars. Don't give me more grief. My heart's in my wallet, no problem with that. And friends, can I sell you this 40-buck hat? Dear God, what a summer. I can't catch a break. I've done what I can for America's sake. I've done all I can in true Trumpian form. And still I am stuck in my own endless storm." So we'll just sit back and watch it on TV this week as the most insane reality show, kind of the way we did when Harvey happened a week ago. Now you've got this one. And then maybe two more sequels, if you will, brewing out in the Atlantic. There was a piece in TV Guide that I thought was pretty good because I remember this lineup of TV shows and I always thought it was the best night in television ever. And son of a gun, if they don't put their finger on it and say, yep, you're right, that's the one. Best TV lineup of all time. NBC's first must-see TV lineup was definitely worth staying home for on Thursdays in 1993. You only needed to use the television remote once to turn on your television at 7 o'clock Central to watch Mad About You, Wings, Seinfeld, Frasier, and L.A. Law. Filled the entire night. Eventually, Friends took over for Mad About You, so you had Friends in the mix. Frasier and later Will and Grace replaced Seinfeld. ER ultimately scheduled to 9 p.m. So ER, you had Will and Grace, you had Frasier, Friends. Not bad, huh? Seinfeld. That was Thursday night must-see TV on NBC. NBC got the night's mix right once again in 2007 with My Name is Earl. Remember that? 30 Rock, The Office, Scrubs, and ER. Thursday night on NBC, also 1 year was, what year is this? A decade before must-see TV was a gleam in any marketer's eyes, 1984. Fall of 1984, Thursday night, NBC, The Cosby Show. I remember this lineup, too. Family Ties, Cheers, Night Court, Hill Street Blues. I'd watch The Cosby Show and Family Ties. I checked out at Cheers and was not a fan of Night Court or even Hill Street Blues, but everybody else was watching. But Thursdays in 1972 and 1973, you had All in the Family, MASH, The Mary Tyler Moore Show. You can probably do this with me. Then The Bob Newhart Show. Boy, what a 1-2 punch that was. And then The Carol Burnett Show. All in the Family, MASH, Mary Tyler Moore, Bob Newhart Show, Carol Burnett Show. Best TV lineup of all time.
Isn't it odd how, looking back at all of that now, because I was old enough to watch TV then.
Yeah.
And it's like, you look back at it now and it's like, how did All in the Family ever fit?
Into that lineup?
Yeah.
And it's funny because All in the Family was virtually a failure its first season, and MASH was not a hit its first season. And so they moved MASH from Sunday night into that lineup. You know, sometimes it has something to do with us giving it a chance, kind of figuring out what this Archie Bunker character is. And then it has something to do with the lineup, the other shows around it. You're suggesting, David, that All in the Family is a weird way to start that night out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I were starting all over
again. Looking back at it from where we are today, it's like, wow. redneck TV.
I know.
It was weird to look. I mean, it you didn't cringe as much. I think there's a bigger cringe level if you look at old clips of Archie today.
Oh my God! I was just going to say, if you watch Archie, if you watch All in the Family once in a while now, and we've all done this. You're clicking around, or maybe you're surfing around, and you come upon an All in the Family episode or scene, and you just can't believe it. You just can't believe it. And we were laughing our fool heads off back then at how liberal and progressive and funny it was. And now it just looks.
Remember the episode where with the Sammy Davis
Jr.?
Yes,
I was just thinking of that.
It's like, wow, that was funny back then. Now it's like, oh my God.
I know, but I'm wondering why it was funny, right? This is the problem I have with some things. I think we laugh because we're shocked. And at the end of the day, if we were honest about it, we would say it wasn't really funny. I was laughing because I couldn't believe it, but not because it was super funny. All in the Family was not funny the way Mary Tyler Moore was, right?
Definitely not.
I mean, really, so maybe we'll start with Mary Tyler Moore and Bob Newhart, just to kind of get everybody in the room before we worry about clearing the room because Archie Bunker's going to come on. I mean, it's funny that he started that night. And then I went to MASH. Who didn't love MASH? Who didn't love Mary? Who didn't love Bob? And then Carol Burnett. Man, that was a good night of TV. It's 151. 153, bunch of folks just walked by the Showcase Studio window on Michigan Avenue wearing red hats and jerseys and windbreakers. They're from Georgia. They're here for the Notre Dame game. And they're walking with a little swagger. They say they like their chances. We'll talk a little sports with Sam Panionovich after 2 o'clock here on WGN. You caring for aging parents? That can be stressful, right? Home Care Assistance is here to take away some of your worry by providing the best care so your loved ones can continue to live an active life in their own homes. At Home Care Assistance, experienced caregivers are trained in the award-winning balanced care method. This method helps older adults thrive at home by strengthening their minds and positively impacting their outlook on life. Find out more. Call 312-380-6716 or visit homecareassistancechicago.com. It's 154. This is WGN. I got an email the other day from the people that bought our house back in Minnesota. We moved here. And they said, hey, just wondering, did you guys ever have bats in your house? And that is not on the disclosure form. I've had conversations with you about moving and things that I think we should do differently. And I think one of the things we should do is a non-binding, non-legal, frank conversation between the buyers and the sellers after the fact, where you just say, okay, now that I got the money, and you've got the keys, there's just a couple things I'm going to tell you. It's things that, just courtesy things that you should know, or things that I didn't have to disclose, but wouldn't it be nice to know? I would not have brought up bats because I just would not have thought about it. But now they evidently have a bat in my old house. And I have had a bat in my old house, and I never told them. I didn't think to. In fact, I'm going to respond to them and say, yeah, I had one. I wrote famously about it on Facebook. About my courageous battle with a tennis racket. I had on like boots and a baseball helmet and a tennis racket. You know, imagine a suburban dad fighting a bat. That was me. And I eventually caught the thing and then put it out in the yard, for which I received the Silver Star, by the way. So I think I should share that with them. I'm going to tell them. But here's what I can't tell them, how the bat got in there and what they need to do about it. I don't know. But I'm just wondering if you've had something like that happen to you as the buyer or the seller, and my number is 312-981-7200, something that you didn't have to disclose but wish you did or you would have, and if you had vermin of some description, you know, like maybe you have a bee's nest in the eaves and it always crops up, but they don't ask you that on the forms. The only thing they want to know is, were you cooking meth in the basement? You have to tell them that, and I checked no. And I'm trying to think of anything. Oh, and water. You have to tell them if you have water, which, by the way, everybody lies about. All basements in America have had water, and everybody says, nope, we've never had water down there. Oh, yes, you have. That is the biggest lie. That's the equivalent of people speeding on the highway. We all have been victims of, seen, or done that. But should they have a little box that just goes, you know, bees, wasps, rats, mosquitoes, Sasquatch, bats, and then you can and you know I guess if you checked all of those things, then maybe it's more less likely that they'll buy your house, right? So you don't want to disclose that. But after the fact, couldn't they just say, then there's another form you get or give, and it would say, what about this stuff? You know, nosy neighbor, a large man over the fence likes to sunbathe, got no clothes on. Just things that I didn't have to tell you, but as a courtesy, I think I should. And it's not on any of those forms you fill out. So I'm feeling for them. I'm going to tell them, yeah, I'm sorry you didn't know that, and I don't know what to tell you to do about it. But would have been nice if they'd had that information after the fact going in. We'll do the news here. Text to 312-981-7200.
So you don't have to.
I'm due.
Here's John Williams.
See what we can come up with. It's 208. This is John. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I normally do a show on Saturday. But Saturday, we've got Northwestern Wildcat coverage. Big Cat Dave Bennett will be doing the game from Duke. It's us against them. It's Northwestern versus Duke football on WGN Radio. It's nice to have the season underway, and the NFL is about ready to spark up, too. In fact, what a game last night. Before we get to any of that, just a couple of texts from our conversation a little while ago about what you do or don't have to disclose when you are buying and selling real estate. Sam Panionovich from WGN Sports is in our studio. You're not a homeowner yet, are you?
Not yet.
Yeah. So the people that bought our house said, hey, do you guys have baths? And we did have one bat in the 4 years we lived there. And I'm going to tell them, yeah, I'm sorry, you didn't ask. I didn't even think to tell you. And I have no idea where it came from, and I have no idea what you're going to do about it.
What do you feed it?
Well, they eat, like, mosquitoes and stuff like that.
You don't leave, like, treats out for the bat?
No, I'm not a bat encourager. In fact, they're little mammals, and when you do have them in your net and you're walking them out, and you think, well, I'm just going to smash this bug. You go, it's not a bug. It breathes. It has hair and nipples. It's a mammal. It's a person. It's not a person, but you get my point. John, things to ask before you buy a home. You should always include, hey, did anybody die here? Number two, are there any bodies or pets buried in the yard? And if so, where? I think you should know that. Number three, what are the neighbors like? Which ones are nosy, friendly, loud, weird? Number four, are there any odors that drift through the air on a consistent basis? Thank you, 847. From another 847 texter, a colony of bats in the attic. In Wisconsin, you have to disclose bats if you've lived in the house. The sellers had never lived in the house, so they didn't disclose. They'd migrated before home inspection, so they weren't known about until the following spring. Now, because we've lived there, we have to disclose before selling in Wisconsin. Yes, we have bats. I don't think we have to do that in Illinois. John, I woke one morning to a neighbor mowing my lawn. Turns out he had a deal with the old owner. The neighbor cut both lawns once a week. Previous owner cut both the next week. And we kept the deal. I wonder if anybody says, you mow and I'll plow, something like that. John, our buyers moaned about everything. It ended when they wanted us to reimburse them for the little red knob on the hot water tank. You know that hot water tank you have in the basement? There's that little red knob there. They wanted us to pay them for the replacement of that red knob. Yeah, that's something I think you can absorb on your own. All right, Sam, let's talk a little sports. Thanks for coming in here. You and I normally have this conversation. We're going to do it on Fridays, and then we'll pay it off on Monday. No, actually, we'll normally do it on Saturdays.
Right.
We'll pay it off on Mondays.
You got punted by the Cats.
I got punted by Dave Bennett and company, so our pregame coverage and coverage of Wildcat football will start at 10:30 tomorrow morning, effectively preempting my show. But just while we're on that, tell me what you like on the Northwestern Duke game.
Well, two schools I couldn't get into. that's for sure.
I got denied Northwestern, too.
I could not get into Northwestern or to Duke. So
best thing that ever happened to us, too. Think of all the money we saved.
Yes. Well, and then my parents saved, too. Northwestern has a quarterback, believe it or not. Clayton Thorson, who played at Wheaton North, he was really good in week one, 28 of 38, threw for 350 yards. When's the last time a Northwestern quarterback threw for that much? I don't think it's ever happened. No, I'm kidding. And they've got a really good running back, too, Justin Jackson. I like their offense. They're more explosive than usual. They had a rally back last week and come back and beat Nevada. But I do like Northwestern on the road. I really think it's a good year for them. The schedule really did align. They miss Michigan. They miss Ohio State. This is a year that if they take care of business early, they can make a run here and they can go far.
So Northwestern wins this game?
I think so.
Just while we're thinking about it, Notre Dame and Georgia this weekend.
Is this a home game for Georgia?
Boy, a lot of red hats and jerseys walking up and down Michigan Avenue.
So many G's on shirts. I even saw a guy walking a bulldog.
Yeah, here comes another one. There's another Georgia. There's all these Georgia people.
They're everywhere. Yeah. So they take over Chicago Thursday and Friday, and then they go down to South Bend tomorrow. Georgia's really good. Now, I'm not the biggest Notre Dame guy in the world, but they have a beefy offensive line. All these guys are 300 pounds, and they just push people around. And if you have an O-line like that in college, it's tough to beat. Georgia, though, they have the speed. They have better athletes out of the SEC. That should be a close game. I'm torn. I think it's a coin flip game. I don't think Notre Dame's going to have an easy time at all with the Bulldogs.
Why don't you give them home field advantage then and say Notre Dame?
Okay, Notre Dame. Close one, though. It'll be close.
Talk to me about now these, you are in this pool starting this week.
By the way, I had the number way wrong. There are 2,500 contestants, not 700.
First it was 600, then it was 700, now it's 2,500
2,500 people, and the top prize, it's five NFL football games. You pick five games against the spread every week, which you will help me with. I do need your help on one of these.
All right.
And I'm dead serious about it.
Okay.
We have to have the best record, and then we win $1 million.
Okay.
It's that simple.
All right. And you get to pick the five games that you're going to put down.
Yeah, they sent a list out late Wednesday night with the point spreads, with all the games. I have them all in front of me right now. And I'm pretty committed to four of them. The fifth one, I'm torn.
All right, give me what you got.
All right, right now, I started with the Titans and the Raiders. Titans are a team. I'm really high on the Titans this year. This is a spot going into a season in week one. You can sort of find value in teams that you like that, you know, maybe the books haven't adjusted to yet. I'm high on the Titans this year. They're at home against the Raiders. I like the Titans to cover against Oakland in week one. I'm a big fan of their quarterback and their power run game. Don't like Oakland's defense, so Tennessee's the first one.
Tennessee Titans cover. What else you got?
I was looking at the Minnesota Vikings at home on Monday night. You've been to that building. It is explosive. It is electric. It's a loud crowd. Saints don't usually travel well. Drew Brees is almost 40. We saw what happened to an old quarterback last night in Tom Brady. I like Minnesota. I love that defense at home.
By the way, thank you, New England Patriots, for just giving America what they wanted. You know,
they're so easy to hate, aren't they?
I know. It's
Tom Brady throwing a hissy fit, too, on the sideline.
Oh, my God. The memes are amazing.
He threw
out
his
there.
Helmet down.
And then he's just sitting there with that really angry face. It's the new Tom Brady angry face. He'd be very mad. And then all you got to do is just put something on there like, you know, when the milk carton is in the fridge, but there's no milk in there, and then you put Tom Brady's face on there. I'm so angry. Where's the milk in my refrigerator? So thank you. And by the way, if New England Patriots win and he goes 38 for 40 and they score 1,000 points, that's fun too. That's the game being played as well as it can. So I celebrate that.
It is fun to see them lose.
And everybody had them winning that game last night against the Kansas City Chiefs. So that was a wonderful thing.
That's proof that anything goes in the NFL. You never know what's going to happen.
Okay, so Vikes, Saints, you got?
The Vikings.
Vikings win.
You agree with the Vikings at home?
I don't know that team well enough. The quarterback is still a question mark for me, but because under their breath up Minnesota, they're still going, Teddy. They want Teddy Bridgewater back.
He just can't stay on the field. All right, the other Monday night game, Denver and Los Angeles. Don't call them San Diego. The Chargers, big Chargers guy this year too, kind of like the Titans. I think the Chargers are due for a bounce back. They had a lot of games last year go the wrong way in the closing minutes, but they did finish really strong. I like Phillip Rivers at quarterback, and I don't like the Broncos situation at quarterback. So I like the L.A., don't call them San Diego, Chargers.
Chargers. Okay.
That's three.
Titans, Vikings, Chargers.
The one I need your help on.
Yep.
Houston, Jacksonville. Can I go against Houston?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Where's that game being played?
It is in Houston. No, it's in Houston.
Oh, really? It is?
Houston is laying 5 points. The Jaguars are so bad, but
it's only
five.
How are they able to play in Houston? They are?
Yeah, oh, yeah, they're at home.
Okay. No, but I mean, I know they're at home, but I would think the schedule would be adjusted because the stadium or the people or the roads weren't accommodating.
Oh, it's in Houston.
Okay, they're going to play in Houston. Well, then go with Houston. What kind of a person are you?
I just needed your help. I thought, you know, Jacksonville, there's two sides of it. One, they rally around the community and they come out and they just kick the crap out of Jacksonville. The other side of that is it's been an emotional week. They've been, you know, doing all the relief efforts. I mean, they don't go home and, you know, they don't get home from practice and think, well, let me lay down and, you know, catch some rays. Or catch some Z's, I should say. They have multiple things to do. They're in the community. They're lugging water and supplies around, and it's a very taxing couple of weeks for the Texans.
Do you believe in karma?
I do believe in karma.
Houston.
Okay.
Let's go with Houston.
All right, fine. We'll go with Houston. And I can't believe I'm picking the Bears. Bears are getting 6.5. I would have liked 7, but I looked up this number. Since 2000, the loser of the Super Bowl is 2-14 against the spread. The loser usually comes out sluggish, and Atlanta had their hearts completely ripped out of their bodies. They were up 28-3 in the Super Bowl, lost that game. I think the Bears actually keep it close. I don't think they win, but please hang inside 6.5. That's one of those picks where I make it, but then when they're down 14 in the first quarter, I'm going to kick
you're
myself.
Watching the Bears game this weekend, even if the Bears lose, they win for Sam.
Yes.
If they at least don't lose by more than 7 points.
They lose by 7 or more, we're cooked.
Okay, so 6.5. So we can't lose by 7. We could lose by 6, and you're still happy.
Yes, I'll be very happy. You'll be happy, too.
Are you happy about the Cubs situation right now?
I am. With let's see, they've played 140 games, so there's 22 left. They have a 5-game lead. The math is good. Their schedule, very favorable. They still have to play the Cardinals and the Brewers, though, so take care of business against your own division. You can't get swept. When you play Milwaukee, they play Milwaukee tonight, Saturday, Sunday, can't get swept. Because you get swept, that lead goes from 5-2.
We're at home. We should not only not get swept, we should win 2 out of 3.
You should. That's the right mindset. That's the mindset you should have. Bullpen still in flux. I'm still skeptical about that bullpen going forward, but the rotation is shaping up. Wilson Contreras coming back, it looks like, relatively soon.
Is he going to do for us what Kyle Schwarber did last year, kind of come in at the last minute?
Yes.
Schwarber was at the very last minute, but remember how good Contreras was after the All-Star break.
He was awesome. He was really good.
So is he going to be that good coming back?
I don't know about that good. I mean, he was the best hitter in baseball for about a 2-week stretch.
And our catchers have been pretty good in his absence, right?
They've done a really good job, and Theo and Jed don't get the credit. They had to go out and get not one, but 2 catchers, right? And they did that. They traded for Avila, and they signed Rivera off waivers. Both of those guys have been very serviceable, but this is Wilson Contreras' catching spot. Once he comes back, he's got a rehab start coming up, and then I would imagine he's back in blue next week.
And what about the shortstop that's out?
Addison Russell. Not looking good.
Sorry, Addison, I just forgot your name. There's this guy named Javi Baez who's playing short, and he's fun to watch.
He's way more exciting, isn't he?
He's
way flashier.
So is Russell going to be back before the playoffs?
Well, see, that's the million-dollar question. He was supposed to be day-to-day, and then he was on the 10-day shelf, and now it's, well, he's a lot longer away than we thought.
So
the rumor is that he may have torn the plantar fasciitis muscle in his foot, which is not good. And they've tried to keep it under wraps. That's what I've heard from a couple different people. If that is an issue, then you may not have him back all season.
I didn't go back and look. Is Los Angeles righted their ship? Because they couldn't lose.
They've lost 7 in a row.
And they had lost, I thought it was like 12 in a row, or they lost 11 of 12 or something.
Yeah.
They're in a terrible tailspin.
Yeah, they've lost 9 of their last 10, 7 in a row. I think you're right, like 12 of their last 13, but they're still 92-48.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
So there's cushion there.
I know, but think about that. Not that you're going to set the record for wins, but they would have been well over 100 if they hadn't put it in the toilet by now. You know,
the thing is, when you go ahead and you go on that run early in the season, you have room for error, and they certainly do. But the Diamondbacks have won 13 in a row right now.
That's right. That's right.
Only outmatched by the Indians, who just swept the White Sox. They've won 15 in a row.
Isn't that amazing? So those teams are hot.
Yes.
And maybe a little too early, too. Still, I mean, what's the last day of the regular season?
I think it's like the first or second day of September.
October,
sorry.
Yeah. So they got a month to go. Yeah. Got a month to go.
Well, Cubs have 22 games left.
All right. Okay, so if you want to just write these down, if you're watching football this weekend.
Root for us. We need your help.
Right, because this is not just messing around here. This is for $1 million in Vegas. So the Titans, the Vikings, we only have 5 to keep in mind. The Titans win, the Vikings win, the Chargers win. And by that we mean win or cover the spread.
Right.
Houston, the emotional win.
That's your pick. If that loses, I'm going
to
fight you.
I'm really feeling this now. I don't want you to put money on me. I don't know what I'm talking
about.
But
see, this is trust. I trust you. You trust me.
I'm sorry to hear that. And then the Bears and the Falcons, and you've got the Bears
at least stay
covering
close.
The spread. Just don't lose by more
seven
than a
or
touchdown.
More.
All right, Sam, I won't talk to you this Saturday on the radio, but let's touch bases on Monday.
You got it.
Sam Panionovich, WGN Sports. All right, let's do this. It's 2:45. This is WGN Radio. News at the bottom of the hour. By the way, thank you, Sam. Stay in touch. Sam Panionovich, WGN Radio Sports. In the next half hour, our Bright Side segment, that's where you call in. Tell us some good news in your world while you're smiling, and we will smile with you. Play ball. Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia. Exclusive books and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today. Amida Health knows you like no one else. The one who's there for you always. Lifelong bonds that make all of the difference. The one who knows what you need and when you need it. At Amida Health, they always put you first. Amida Health includes 9 hospitals, 6 immediate care centers, and 78 outpatient locations in the west and northwest suburbs. Visit AmidaHealth.org/YOU or call 855-MY-AMIDA in sickness and in health. On a phone line, it says Matt. Matt, this is John Williams, and you're on WGN Radio. How are you, Matt?
Good, John. How are you?
Pretty good. Matt, I don't know what your last name is. What's your last name?
Williams.
Oh, I'm familiar with that name, but you're not related to me. Are you, Matt?
No.
I understand through a mutual friend of ours, that would be your coach or one of them, Matt Bubala, my former producer, Matt Bubala, one of our hosts here, a man named Matt Bubala, that the Tri-Cities Little League is going to host its 6th annual Challenger Jamboree this weekend at 11 a.m. at Randall Oaks facilities in West Dundee. That'll be September 10th. District 13 will celebrate another successful year of the Challenger program while hoping to attract new players, volunteers, sponsors, and more. What are you guys doing there beyond that? I understand that there's some other things going on. Why do they call it the Challenger Jamboree?
So this event, John, is a bigger event than what we have in each of the individual leagues. So this event, we take all the players from across the Chicagoland area that's in the Challenger program, and we bring them all together at Randall Oaks to play baseball games against each other. So they're playing people from across the area they would not be able to in their local leagues.
Why not?
Because each league plays against their own teams, and this event allows other leagues to play other leagues.
But there's also a handicapped accessible component to this, right? Aren't there some disabled kids that are participating with you guys?
Yes, that's the entire premise of the Challenger program. It's a division of Little League that allows any player with a physical, intellectual, or developmental disability to participate in Little League.
Oh, I see. Well, so I'm sorry then. I don't know anything about this, Matt. Is it a league for those kids per se?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well, then do they sort of buddy up with another kid to kind of help them?
Yes, it's one of the fundamental components of Challenger. So at each game they play or at our Jamboree, they'll be buddied with a mainstream Little League player who will be there to support them on the field, foster friendships, protect them on the field, but also just teach them the game of baseball.
Huh. So like if we're at second base, will there be 2 kids at second base then?
Yes.
And do you guys do it that way just for this one day, the Jamboree, or is there a league that does that all year long?
So all the leagues in our division, Bartlett, Woodstock, Tri-Cities, and Lake Zurich, they all follow this that method of using the buddy system during their regular season games, and we'll also be using it at Tri-Cities on Sunday.
I see. So then will it be you guys going to play a game or games against each other this way?
Yes. So each league we have a total of 10 teams. Each team will be 2 sections of games, each team playing once.
And then how does the pitching go? Are these kids able to hit well, you know, overhand pitched balls, or do you put it on a tee? How do you do that?
Well, it varies on the player. We do have the coach will pitch, and it'll either be an overhand throw, underhand throw, or on the tee. It just depends on the player's individual ability.
Wow. You know, I've spent my whole life playing ball or watching my kids, and I've never heard of something like this. I think this is a fantastic idea.
it's a quite an amazing program.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're here to tell me that it's as rewarding for you as maybe those kids, huh?
Yes, and when I started in Challengers, when I was age 5, it really allowed me to open a lot of doors for me. It allowed me to play sports since I wouldn't be able to with my physical disability.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, I'm having this conversation with you thinking you are not the one with the physical disability. You are.
Yes, and I'm also serving as this year's event co-chair. So in addition to participating in the event, I'll also be I've been helping out with a lot of the planning of the event throughout the summer.
How old are you?
16.
What is your physical disability? How is it that you're not able to play baseball like the other kids, Matt?
I have a disability called cerebral palsy. It makes sometimes some tasks like running, walking, sometimes slower, those kind of things. And in a mainstream game, I might be able, not be able to participate as much as my speed might become an issue. For example, in our league, there's no out, strikes, balls, none of that. Everyone gets on base. Everyone scores.
Huh. So you enjoy playing baseball?
Absolutely.
Huh. Well, that's just fantastic. So that's going on this weekend then?
Yes. So this Sunday, our games will start at 11:30 and go till 2:30. Again, right out at the Randall Oaks baseball facility on Randall Road, north of Route 72.
Well, what can we do for you guys? I mean, come out and cheer them on. I presume this is a fundraiser for the league and for the program as well?
Yes, but one thing we do ask our listeners to come out to is come out and visit us. It really helps to have a big cheering section on for our players.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so let's make it clear now one more time when and where you're playing. It's going to be Saturday from 1 to 3, did you say?
Sunday.
That's why we need to repeat this. I'm writing it down. Sunday. Keep going.
Sunday at 11:30 to 2:30 at the Randall Oaks Baseball Facility.
Like I said, Saturday 1 to 3. No, John, it's Sunday from 11 to...
Yes.
Keep going.
at the Randall Oaks Baseball Facility in West Dundee on Randall Road.
Okay. All right, Matt Williams, anything else I can do for you about this? It sounds like you've got things better organized than I do the things I'm supposed to organize. Why don't you come do radio talk shows, and I'll just go stand in some stands somewhere and cheer people on. Does that sound like a good plan?
I'd be up to that.
So what year are you in school then?
Sophomore.
Sophomore. And what are your plans after high school?
I'll be going to college. I'm still looking at majors, but... my wheels are turning.
Well, let them turn around broadcasting a little bit. I hate to encourage people to get into this lousy business, but if that's something you want to do down the road, you and I will stay in touch, okay?
All righty.
Hey, Matt, thanks for the information on this. Oh, and one other thing. Is there a website that people should go to or click on?
Yes, it is IllinoisDistrict13.com.
Just like that, IllinoisDistrict13.com. IllinoisDistrict13.com. All right, Matt, well done. Thanks for visiting with us. Good luck to you. You're going to have nice weather. Have a great Sunday, okay?
Thank you, John.
Thanks for visiting with us. Wow, maybe you're familiar with that Challenger program. I'm not. I'm so glad that exists. The news is next on WGN. I was talking to my buddy in Florida in the last hour, that is in the 1 o'clock hour, and he's a TV photographer down there. And his family's out of Dodge. He's kind of figured out how he's going to live and work for the next few days. But it's sunny and, you know, it's hot and humid, he said. It's miserable. It's South Florida weather at the end of summer. It's hot and humid. But you would never, looking up at the sky, think that a Category 4 or 5 hurricane is about to bear down on you. And maybe run a swath right up this gut of the state. This hurricane is wider than Florida.
Yep, so, I think it was, 600 miles at one point yesterday?
Yeah.
And I think Florida is only 100 and, if you're going up the panhandle from north, from south to north, it's only like 150 miles wide.
Right, forget the handle on the northwest corner.
It's wider than most of the state.
It's just, and so if it stays on the eastern seaboard, that's devastation. If it goes right up the gut, that's, I don't know if that's worse, it's just another flavor. But it's all bad.
You know, it's worse. Big as you'll get the front side and the back side.
You get it
of
coming
star.
And going, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you would, wouldn't you?
And you may have seen the pictures of how unprepared people were way back when. I think it was 1932 or 1935 was the last major, like, Category 4 or 5 hurricane to hit Florida. There used to be a railroad that ran all the way down to the Keys. One of the trains got caught in the hurricane, and you can see pictures of it, just all the cars laying on their side, because it literally just blew them right off the track.
Huh. We were talking to him about everybody trying to drive out of town, and, you know, just this nightmare traffic jam they have.
You look at the pictures, you wonder, why didn't you guys just take both sides of the interstate
I know
and
that.
Point them north?
I thought that.
Duh.
Because you see like two or three lanes, bumper to bumper, and then, you know, you don't know who the people are going south. It might be me, because I'm the kind of guy who, even though I'm going in the wrong direction, at least I'm moving. But so there's like four cars coming southbound and 72,000 cars going northbound. They should make those reversibles. They should make those reversibles right now and let those people get out of there. So they're working on that, and, you know, our best to everybody down there. You may have family or friends down there, and, you know, we'll just kind of watch it on TV here. They're going to grin and bear it as best they can, and we'll follow that storm all weekend here on WGN Radio, you betcha. I was reading this Twitter account. I follow a bunch of people. You probably do, too. I follow at our man in Chicago, a guy named Scott Smith. And his tweet this morning was, "Good morning to everyone, except people who've lived in Chicago for 3 years and make a big deal about leaving." Huffington Post posted an essay by a guy who lived in Chicago for a few years. He came here from San Francisco. He's moved on to New York. And in his 3 years here, he's worried. Well, he's not worried, but he said, "Did I do Chicago wrong?" Because he did not have a good time. He got into some crashes, or he got beat up. Some girls that he hit on didn't want to date him. And he had trouble making friends. He just never felt part of the Chicago scene, and he finally left. And I am with Scott Smith. I mean, I've been new to towns before, and it's never easy to get acclimated. And for a very long time, you never feel like you're really in the party. Everybody else seems to be one step ahead of you. They get references that you don't, and they have longer histories than you do. It's never easy to be new in a city. This guy was here for 2 or 3 years, and he's finally left. And now he's writing this thing to Chicago saying, you know, good riddance, essentially. The Chicago Tribune and Sun Times ran pieces like this previously in the last couple years, and I didn't like those either. This guy's critique is more personal. He just didn't like it here. Others are saying as long as the city has high taxes and high crime, everybody's going to leave and nobody's going to replace that population. That analysis, I think, is more helpful, but I don't think it's even written from a helpful place. I think it's like this, goodbye suckers, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. And I guess the newspapers will print these, but I almost wish they wouldn't. What is so entertaining about that? What is so valuable about that? I'm not a fan of those essays either. And yet everybody's talking about the one in Huffington Post. It's written by a guy named Eric Berry, who's gone invisible now. But if you want to read it, you can. He does say this. "Chicago is at the center of everything in Chicago. It's overflowing with pride. Every little detail is grand and celebrated as though it's only in Chicago. On one hand, the city keeps shouting about its world-class stature, and on the other hand, it can feel like you're stuck in a small town, local evening news broadcast." I think Chicagoans are very proud of Chicago. Chicagoans talk about Chicago the way Illinoisans don't. You do not see people walking around Springfield or Peoria or Rockford going, "Boy, it's great to be a resident of Illinois." But Chicagoans are really proud of their city. I don't think there's anything wrong about that. It's 2:46. It's time for our Bright Side segment. We do it around 2:45 or 2:46 on Fridays. Call me right now at 312-981-7200. Call 312-981-7200 or text to that line and give us some good news. Tell us why you're smiling. The Bright Side is next. We do this on Fridays.
Some things in life are bad.
One phone line open.
They can really make you mad.
Call me right now, it could be you.
Other things just make you swear and curse. when you're chewing on life's gristle. That grumble, give a whistle.
Sing it home now.
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
As we start the weekend with the bright side.
Always look on the bright side.
Going to the newsroom. Steve Bertrand's not here today. Steve took the day off. Judy, what's your bright side in the newsroom?
Well, I'll tell you, John, my nephew Kyle is marrying Casey on Sunday at a fabulous barn in Benton Harbor, Michigan.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, family wedding. We haven't had one in quite a while.
I'm going to be in Michigan this weekend, too. Maybe I'll swing by.
Why don't you?
Is it open bar?
Meet me on the dance floor. Well, duh, better be, or I'm not going.
Just purse your lips and whistle.
Going to sports. Hey, Kevin, what's your bright side?
For the first time doing this with you, John, I am not golfing tomorrow. That's because I, too, have a wedding.
Woohoo!
My good friends Ryan Hayes, Kelly Keene, getting all married tomorrow afternoon should be fun.
Sometimes they golf the day before the wedding. Couldn't you squeeze in 9?
I could maybe squeak in a little round early tomorrow morning. I may have to keep that option open, Jeff.
You have my permission. My bright side is football season's here.
Yes.
I hate to shoo summer away, but there it goes. And I'm looking forward to football season. I'm looking forward to the cooler weather, the fall leaves, the barbecue. Marshawn, you're on WGN. You're our first caller. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Marshawn?
Your first caller. You interviewed my son, Matt Williams, today in regards to the Challenger program.
Oh, my gosh. That young man that we had on a half hour ago talking about the Challenger baseball program is one of the most impressive people I've spoken to in a very long time.
Well, he was very excited, and even though it's football season, this weekend is baseball season to close it all up. So we really appreciate it. Hope to come out and dunk our Matt Bubala.
Marcia, you've done good. It's nice to meet you and your son.
All right, take it easy. Happy weekend.
Hey, Kim, it's John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hi, John. My bright side is that we just replaced our minivan that we had for 14 years. So my ride no longer smells like a gorilla cage. And the best thing is that I can now listen to WGN on the radio again. Because the old one, Radiohead, worked for at least a year.
Oh, man, I've had cars like that. There's French fries in the back of that thing. You don't even want to know about them, am I right?
That's right.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for tuning in. Let's go to Andrea. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Andrea?
Hi. I'm a super proud mom of our oldest son. Has just finished his third week in college, and he's thriving, and us parents are actually doing okay.
Yeah. Boy, that's a great thing. Get through those first couple weeks. Do they call every day? Do you call every day? Do you keep checking your phone for a text? He's going to be just fine.
He will be.
Andrea, thanks for the call.
Be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle.
Hey, Pat, it's John. You're on WGN. Patrick, what's your bright side?
My bright side is my wife, Gina, and I just bought a brand new house, and we can't wait to move in 2 weeks.
Have a great run. Enjoy that place. Let's go to Jim on line 5. You're on WGN. Jim, what's your bright side?
John, how are you? Welcome back to Chicago.
Thank you, sir.
Just want to let you know I've been free from 2 separate dancers for a little bit over 4 years.
Attaboy. You sound great. Yeah. And by the way, you look good, too. I want you to know that.
Thank you. You look good, too.
How about Sean on line 11? Sean, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hey, tomorrow's my son's 11th birthday. He loves exotic sports cars, so I'm surprising him with a ride in a Lamborghini and a Ferrari F430 at a exotic car thing up in Milwaukee tomorrow.
Wow. I hope he's excited about it as you are, because you sound like you're really jazzed about this.
I can't wait to see the look on his face.
When you're feeling in the dumps.
Hey, Judy, it's John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Judy?
I've been moving from my home of 28 years that I've lived alone in for 20 years, and I'm driving to the closing now of my condo in Downers Grove, that I will be independent and happy.
What a nice call. Have a great time. Hey, Kelly, this is John. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling today?
I'm smiling today because this is Kelly from Kansas, and last night the Chiefs beat the Patriots in New England.
Give the audience a grin.
Fair enough. That was my bright side.
Everyone's smiling about that.
I'm telling you, all of America is going, yeah, you go, girl. You go. We don't know if we're Chiefs fans, but we were last night. That was fun.
Hey, Linda, it's John. You're on WGN Radio online. Let me make sure I get the right line here. Hey, Linda, it's John. What's your bright side? Hey, Linda.
Hello?
Hey, this is John. You're on the air. What's your bright side?
Oh, hi, John. I'm excited because a week from tomorrow, the Waukegan Township High School Class of 1972 is going to be having their 45th high school class reunion.
Oh, wow. Wow. You're looking forward to that, right?
So looking forward to it.
I think the wives or the women look forward to that more than the guys. Do you think that's true?
I know that's true because my husband is going to be so glad when it's over. I've been on the committee for the past 45 years.
It also helps that the women all look a lot better than the men at the 40 and 45th year reunions, too.
Exactly.
We do this on Fridays. It's called The Bright Side. We'll start it a little earlier next week. I think I said that last week, but we'll get more bright sides in next time. Have a great weekend. Ro and Anna say hi next on GN. Rokan just strolled into the studio looking very important.
I am. that's me. We have many things that we're going to get to here. There's a actually developing story, not about the hurricane, but we're going to keep everybody up to date. I know there's a lot of people.
Which
that are
one?
Like,
we got three to watch now.
I know. But obviously the track now has gotten it's the worst possible news for Hurricane Irma's track. And they were, well, it went down to Category 4. It's okay. You know, it's only at Category 4 by 2 miles an hour in wind.
Oh, really? Is that the diff?
Yes. So it's in a gust, it's a Category 5. And it's continuing to barrel right directly toward the bottom of Florida. Now, we'll talk to Tom Skilling coming up in the 4 o'clock hour about this and about what any hope that there can be. Susie Sunshine, Susan Schmidt, will join us talking about what the impact of the markets is going to be by Monday or Tuesday, potentially.
Yeah, I'm amazed that the market wasn't worse this week between the two hurricanes, between President Trump saying that if North Korea and China don't cooperate, or that we would stop all trade with anybody that trades with North Korea.
And they don't believe him.
Which is the rest of the planet.
It's clear that when the president speaks, Wall Street isn't listening. I mean, that's so far.
I'm okay with that.
I think they're trying to figure out exactly, you know, because, you know, there's so much puffery with political puffery coming out of Washington, period. But in his particular case, you kind of read between the lines here. Hey, the other piece, though, right now is there is this breaking story that it does appear that CNN has now received a document from when Donald Trump was running for president detailing the deal in Moscow.
Which deal in Moscow?
The Trump Tower in Moscow.
Oh, yeah, that
Moscow.
One. So there's something damning about this or new about this?
CNN has the details of it, and I think I don't think report well for the president. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
So we have that.
I'm in on all of that.
Michael Steele will join us in just a few minutes to talk about that.
Really groovy.
So everything's going. All right.
Have a good weekend.
You too.